rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in seamstress way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in seamstress way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have you, Jesus, than anything this world affords today. Rather have you, Jesus, than
isn't it good to be in church?
Amen.
Take your Bible and go to the book of Ezekiel. Now, if you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen there for you in just a few minutes. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 47. In Ezekiel chapter 47. And that is one of those books that sometimes is a little difficult to find. Ezekiel chapter 47. And I'm glad to see all of you here, all of those kids. Isn't it good? All those kids coming to church. And I'm thankful for it. Ezekiel 47. We've even got Bibles there in the pew if you'd like to read along in a Bible that you can hold. Some people look at the Bible on their iPad or their phone or whatever. And then we'll put it on the screen there for you because the Word is important. And we want you to be able to see the words printed. Now, verse number one, this is what it said. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way, the gate northward, and led me about the way, which is the other gate, by the way that looked eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had a line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000. He brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000. He brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for what you have written in your word. And I pray, Lord, that it will be a help, a blessing to those that are listening, whether they're here present, Lord, whether they're watching by way of internet, or whether they watch it later. Lord, I pray that the word, not me, but the word would penetrate the heart, the minds of the people that are listening. And God, that it will help them in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And we can walk out of here different than when we walked in because we've been in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Here in Ezekiel chapter number 47, you may have thought that was an odd scripture reading there in Ezekiel 47. But let me give you three points. Let me give you my points real quick. Number one, Ezekiel's vision. His vision. And then I'm going to tell you Ezekiel's venture. And then lastly, I'm going to give you Ezekiel's victory. So you've got his vision, his venture, and his victory. And so in these passages, Ezekiel is given a vision. His vision is like this. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle, for lack of a better purpose, I'm going to say it didn't look anything like this. It had all the furniture in it, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, and the lampstand, all that kind of stuff in this temple that Ezekiel saw. But in this particular instance, I'm going to bring your mind just to give you the vision that Ezekiel saw. He comes to the altar of the door of the house. And here at the altar, water just started slowly dripping out. And then there was a man there with a line in his hand. All that means is it was a measuring device. And so he measured out 1,000 cubits. And when he measured out 1,000 cubits, this water was getting deeper. The water first got up to his ankles. And then he measured out another 1,000 cubits, and the waters got up to his knees. Then he measured out another 1,000 cubits, and the water was up to his loins. That's the waist area. And then he measured out another 1,000 cubits, and he said it was a river that I could not pass over. In other words, a river I could not cross without swimming. I couldn't touch bottom anymore. And so I started out, it started out just a trickle, and then by the end of this thing, it got to where it was so deep, and I was in over my head that I had to swim, had to pick my feet up, trust God, and let him take me where he wanted to take me. And so here this morning, I just want to say to all of us here, Christ Church Baptist Fellowship, Millsfield Highway, Millsfield, Tennessee. We don't even have a post office box, do we? Or a post office. But we can say here in Millsfield, listen, this church, we need to get in over our head. Now, you may be saying, now, what in the world? You're talking about getting in over your head. Well, I want you to picture water in the Bible is a picture and a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Water in the Bible is a picture and a type of the Word by the washing, the regeneration, the washing of the Word. So the way you could look at this, get deeper in the Word. Get deeper in God, if you will. So there are three questions associated with this sermon. Number one, are you in? Number two, how far are you in? And then number three, are you getting anybody else in? Three questions that we'll answer this morning in the next 2 hours. And see, we didn't have service Wednesday night, and Cecil was talking about how he wanted to hear he wanted me to make up for, you know, they're not paying me to take off, and so I've got to give you the whole time. That's what Cecil said. So if it's a 2-hour sermon, it's Cecil's fault. Here, his vision, I tried to give you that vision. The water was trickling out, but let me just give you his venture. His venture started out here at the altar, and I want you to notice the water was just trickling out at first, just slowly coming out, and got deeper as they measured out. Now, let me say this. You're saying, okay, we're in the book of Ezekiel. That's Old Testament. I ain't got anything to do with me. Why in the world are we in the book of Ezekiel? Well, how many of you know in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 in the New Testament that the Bible says, ye are the temple of God. So everything that's going on in Ezekiel's day, the ankles, the knees, the loins, the swimming, and all of that should be going on inside of you this morning. So there should be water issued out in your if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And so what happens is when you first got saved, it started out as just a trickle of water. There it was, just a trickle of water. Now listen, let me just say this. If you have been saved 30 years and you're still living in the trickle, that ain't good. If you've just been saved recently and you're living in the trickle, yes, that's where baby Christians ought to be. You don't want them to drown. But if you've been saved 30 years, 40 years, 20 years, 10 years, and you're still living in the trickle, how many of y'all know a trickle can be aggravating? You get in a shower somewhere and there's not enough water to come. You got to jump around to get wet. It's a trickle. It can be aggravating. Or you're laying there in the bed and all of a sudden you hear drip, 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 drip. You pull the pillow over your head and you can still hear it through the pillow. Drip, drip, drip. You're like, shut up, you know. Or when you were in school, back in my day, now you don't do this today. Too many germs going around, but used to, man, you would, that water fountain, and you'd pull it wide open, and just a little bit of water, and you'd have to put your whole mouth on it. How many of y'all remember that? You just put your whole mouth on it to get any water out of it. Don't do that today, so you'll wake up with something. But a trickle can be aggravating if it's going on and on and on, and it doesn't grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I tell you this, one time I was at a church and used to, you know, when we had seats like this up on the platform, in about a minute or two before church started, I'd come up and just sort of and get my thoughts together. And the piano's just playing softly, getting ready to start church. And I'm just sitting there getting my thoughts together, and that's when, you know, getting ready to start church. And boy, I saw this lady here, she'd come out of the nursery. And man, she was doing this way before she ever got to me. Church is finna start. And I'm saying, whew, and I'm talking about she's doing like this right here. She said, preacher, I got to take, preacher, there's a kid back in the nursery that's got the pink eye. And if we don't get that kid out of there, every kid back there is going to have the pink eye. And preacher, you got to do something about it now. And I said, ma'am, we fixed our church. Can you handle the pink eye situation by yourself? She said, preacher, and I said, ma'am, look, I hope every kid back there gets the pink eye before they catch whatever you got. Never saw her again. I don't know. But she was just living in the trickle, and she was just trickling in and trickling out and you know, all that kind of stuff. But listen, if you've just been saved, yes, that's where you're supposed to be. But if you've been saved 20 years, you ought to be grown as a Christian more than that. Now let me move on to this. He measured out 1,000 cubits, and the water was up to his ankles. Now there has to be a time and a place in your Christian life where you get your feet covered. Your feet needs to get to moving for the Lord. I mean, you got to get your feet covered. And I think Ephesians over in the New Testament, it says, get your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of the peace. So that means football players, baseball players, and all, they wear cleats. And the reason they wear cleats is to get a footing, a grounding. So as a Christian, we need to be grounded in the Word. You need to be very, it needs to be very important where you go to church. Because if your church is not grounding you in the Word, then you're slipping everywhere you go. You need to be grounded where you can get your footing. And when the wind blows, it won't knock you over every time the wind blows. So you got to get your feet covered. Preparation of the gospel of the peace. It's not like one church that I heard about last Sunday that the preacher got up and said, the rapture is man-made and it's not true and it's all man-made. And I'm thinking, this guy needs to be taken out behind the church and give him the right hand of fellowship. Hallelujah. Don't lead people the wrong way. They're going to fall over. Give them a good footing. The Bible is our word that we stand upon. That's where we get our footing from. That's why stand strong in the faith. So at some point in your Christian life, you ought to have your feet covered. There is your preparation. There's your preparation right there. If you're going to do karate or whatever, they tell you the stance. Get your feet on the floor. You don't fight on your tiptoes. You'll knock over. Get both feet planted on the solid rock. And then he says this. He measured out another 1,000 cubits. And then the water was up to his knees. Now, you may be in here and we're now, if you're in, you ought to be, if I want to know if you're in. If you're in, you got to be in, and that's the only way through Jesus Christ. It's not through church membership. It's not through baptistry. It's not through, you know, taking the sacraments and all of that. It's not even joining the church. You come to church every time the doors open, and that won't even get you into heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That's how you get in. Then after you get in, now you do understand it's a whole lot better to be in than out. Amen. Ask Noah. It's a whole lot better to be in than out. And there's only two kinds of people. There's not three, four, five. There's only two kinds of people in the world. Saved and not saved. Believers and make-believers. Saints and ain'ts. They ain't but two. There's no in-between and there's no halfway. And people say, you know, I say, hey, are you saved on your way to heaven? Well, I think so. Well, I hope so. Well, maybe so. And I say, well, were you ever born in the hospital? Well, I think so. You see how that don't make sense? Were you born the first time? Well, yeah. I was born January the 18th, 1973. It's when I was born. Write it down. Keep them cards and letters coming. January 18th, 1973. It's when I was born. The first time. Then you ought to know when you were born the second time. If you're married, you better know when it was. Are you married? Well, I think so. Well, I asked one fellow one time, I said, are you married? He said, well, I'm afraid so. Are you in? Get in. Now, if you're in, how far are you? Are you just a trickle? Have you got your ankles covered? Your preparation. You got your ankles covered. All right? Then get your knees covered. Your knees ought to be where your feet, that's your preparation. Then your knees, somebody help me. It's got to be a word with a P. So your feet, your preparation. Your knees would be your prayer. Hallelujah. Where's my Pentecostal side at this morning? At some time, you have to have a prayer life, communication with God. Once you say, start out as a trickle, a babe in Christ, and then you get your ankles covered. There's your preparation. And then you get your knees covered. You have a prayer life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Communication. If you're married and you don't communicate, there's probably not supper on the table and fellowship at the house. If there's not any communication, if you don't call on the phone when you're out and all that kind of stuff and overnight and you're separated, if you don't call when you get home, it's going to be cold at the house. And so God wants a relationship, a fellowship with you to where you talk to Him. Amen. So you got to get your knees covered. I'll be honest, folks, we are living in troublesome times. Would y'all not agree with that? We are living in troublesome times. And can I say this? The camera's on, Facebook's on, and YouTube is on. Our problem is not in the White House. It's in the church house. And the church house has quit praying. They've quit filling the altars. They've stopped bending their knee to cry out to an almighty God. If my people, which are called by not my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then we'll hear from heaven. It ain't got anything to do with the White House. It's the church house is where it'll start. If you want to change the White House, change the church house. Get us back to praying, and it'll filter over into the White House and the courthouse and the schoolhouse. Whew, boy, I feel like preaching. Get our knees covered. But let me say this. Now, let me draw this illustration. If you'll picture this as a swimming pool, when you first get in the swimming pool, it's usually 2-3 foot deep. That's where all the kids play. Boy, that's where all the kids play. That's where they splash. That's where somebody gets water in their eyes and they start fussing. And if you stay up in the kiddie pool too long, All right, here we go. Look, let me paint this for you. We got a Walmart swimming pool up here. And we got this Walmart swimming pool, and it's got about, I don't know, a foot or less of water in it. And you got Sammy sitting in the middle of this Walmart swimming pool. And Tommy's sitting in there. And they both got floaties on. Little kid floaties. And they're splashing one another. Quit splashing me. If you don't quit splashing me, I'm going home. I ain't going to play with you no more. Now, if we were to pass by and you could see this Walmart swimming pool up here, and them two adults in that Walmart swimming pool splashing and fussing and carrying on, you would say, them two men are not acting their age. All right, ready? Please give you something. Not this one, but a bunch of churches I've been into. You got a bunch of adults playing in a kiddie pool, fussing and fighting and carrying on, splashing one another. Boy, I come to Millsfield to preach today now. Too many churches. They're fussing over what side the piano's on, what color the carpet is, if we got drapes, we don't have drapes, and all of this, and I don't like that, and that piano's too loud, and I can't hear the preacher. He hollers too much, and it's too cold in here, and I'm about to burn up, and if he don't get my favorite group, I ain't coming back, and if they don't start singing my favorite song, splash, splash. Get out of that kiddie pool and get in the deeper water. Get further out there in God. Quit playing around and look. And just like you would say, them two are not acting their age. Spiritually speaking, there's a lot of saved people. They've been saved 30 and 10 and 20 and 40 and 50 years, and they're not acting their spiritual age. Brother Jeremy, that is good preaching song. Get your ankles covered. There's your preparation. Get your knees covered. There's your prayer. But then he went out and measured another 1,000. It was up to his loins. Now, another P word, preparation. There's your prayer. Right here's where your power comes from. Now, you can ask Brother Cecil about this. Brother Cecil, I'm taller than he is and probably way more than he does. Would y'all not agree with that? But I can promise you this. He can hit a golf ball further than I can. Because it has nothing to do with size. The power that hits the ball don't come from here. Like these big muscles I got. Well, I got a coat over them, I don't let them out. Power comes from here. Cecil, am I right? If you ever, softball, baseball, whatever, if you ever, I don't know how to hit it over, I know how to hit it over the fence, I just never, I can't ever. But if you can ever get, if you can ever get that connected up with that ball, I don't care how big you are, it's going over the fence. Because the power comes from here. So as a Christian, your power comes from, here. Your power comes from here, not the History Channel. Your power comes from here. Not what you saw some preacher say on TV. If he ain't in here, turn him off. Amen. Just because he's got a big congregation. Look, if he ain't in here, he ain't telling it right. Your power comes from here. I got proof. Jesus went in the wilderness of temptation to be tempted of the devil. Y'all remember that? And you know how Jesus combated the devil? He said, devil, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written 3 times. He stabbed him like with a sword. It is written. It's written. You know why so many Christians can't live defeated lives and they're always bummed out and they're always down and this, that, and the other? Because we don't know enough of the word to fight the devil. You can't pull your gun out. And I got one. But you can't shoot the devil. I can't pull my knife out and stab the devil. So the only way to get at him, is stabbing with this knife. And if you don't know this, the sword of the Spirit, Hebrews 4:12, the word is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, has the discernment of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's the only way you can defeat the devil is right here. When he gets in the mind, the helmet of salvation. Protect your mind with the sword of the Spirit. There's where your power comes. That's where a Christian power comes from, right here. Now, then he said, and I'm winding down the close. Then he said, I went down another 1,000 cubits. And he said, man, I didn't pass my waist. I'm up here and I'm fixed to have, I can't walk across this thing. Now it's fixed to be over my head and I'm fixed to have to swim. Amen. I fixed to have to let this current take me where it wants to go. That's where it gets uncomfortable. Now, we love to float. Man, we love to float. Man, I used to, Current River, man, we'd get in them inner tubes. And, man, and if you didn't know what you was doing, you'd see all these tree limbs and these trees that have fallen and this, that, and you got to paddle your way around it or you're going to get hung up in a tree limb and get knocked off and this, that, and the other. And that current ain't waiting on you. Amen. It ain't waiting on you. You fall off, and if you're in ankle-deep water, the current don't bother you too bad. You can pretty well still stand up. You get down there waist-deep, and that current, you're going to look like a... You say, you got any Bible? I sure do. Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is it? But be you filled with the Spirit. So when you get the further in you get... the more control he has. Tommy Yorden done been up on that. The more you get in, the further you get in, the more control he has. And once you get up to here, you're like, okay, I can't fight this no more. I'm fixing to pick my feet up and let the current take me where it wants to go. Amen? How far are you in? Now, I'm winding down. Hang on. People like the kiddie pool because that's where I can stand up and touch bottom. I like it up here because I'm in control. But if I get out here deep enough to where I've got to lean on something else to control. Let that lay in your lap for a second. Christian people, we like control, don't we? I do. I like to be able to touch bottom. But God says, get on out here. I won't worry. You can't trust yourself, but you have to trust me. I want you to where you and you just have to pick your feet up and trust me to carry you where you. Now watch this. If I'm in ankle deep water, the only thing under the water that you can't see is my feet. The deeper I get, the less of me you see. The less of me you see, and the more of the water you see. So if I get in like this, there's more of me under that you can only see part. You say, you got any Bible for that? I sure do. John 1 says, he must increase and I must decrease. So the deeper you go, he's increasing and I'm decreasing. Ankle deep water. It's more of me. Look at me. But out there, it's look at him. I ain't doing this. I ain't doing this. It's somebody else controlling this. When you get in over your head, that's where God wants us to be. How far are you in? Are you in? Okay, good. How far are you in? You trickling? You trickle in, trickle out? You ankle deep? You knee deep? You in the waist? Are you swimming? Third question, and we're done. Are you getting anybody else in? I'm done. Sammy's coming to the piano. He's coming to the piano right now thinking of a good song. I'll give you this illustration. The beach. All these starfish, early in the morning, all these starfish. I mean, there's thousands and thousands, as far as you can see down this beach line, thousands and thousands upon thousands of little starfish up here that got up out of the water. And there's an old man picking them up one by one, throwing them back in. Little boy come up and said, Mister, you're not doing any good. Ain't no way you're going to get all these back in there. It don't matter. What you're doing, it don't matter. And the old man picked up one more and he said, it mattered to that one. It mattered to that one. It mattered to that one. The whole world ain't going to get saved. And you're looking at it going, preacher, it ain't going to matter. But that next one that walks the aisle and accepts Jesus, it mattered to that one. Amen. It made a difference in that one. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. Lord, I did what you told me to do, and I pray, God, it's helped somebody. I hope if they're knee-deep, they'll get in further. Lord, if they're trickling, they'll get in further. If they're ankle-deep, they'll get in further. Wherever they are, Lord, I pray that they'll always be abounding in the work of the Lord. God, I pray right now if somebody's not in, they're not saved, they don't know you. They don't know you like I do. I pray they get saved today before it's everlasting too late. And I pray that we would get some other people in, invite people. Lord, it may not matter to thousands and millions, but Lord, it'll matter to that one. It'll matter to that one. I pray that'll be the mission of our church. In Jesus' name, won't you stand? Sam is playing. People are coming to the altar if you want to. Who's coming to pray? Anybody coming to pray? Anybody need to? Who else is coming to pray? Anybody? Anybody else? More coming. Just pray. Take your time. Anybody else? surrender all.